Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 145, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. O mighty man, why wilt thou boast thyself in hateful cruelty, when God Almighty is most kind, and ever merciful is he? 145, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Scripture reading for this evening will be out of Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We recall Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Thus far God's word.
Wish to announce first that Mr. and Mrs. Christopher and Diana DeLeo were blessed with a baby boy today, Josiah Christian. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Almighty and eternal God, thou who art from everlasting to everlasting the same, and thou dost speak, and it is, and command, and it stands firm. Thou art the God of creation, but thou art also the God of recreation. And Lord, that our eyes may be upon thee, that we may look unto thee for all our needs, for all of our cares, and that our eyes may be lifted up to look to thee and not to man. Thou, O Lord, art right and just in all thy ways, and thou makest no mistake with all the inhabitants of the earth. Thou hast determined in the quietness of eternity that there will that there will be a people drawn unto thee with the cords of love, and that thou wilt work almightily in their hearts. Thou wilt give unto them the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and it is a people that find nothing in themselves, but everything in thee. Lord, it is thy hand that must perform the work. Thou dost send forth thy spirit, and the spirit quickeneth, the spirit worketh, the spirit leads, and that all a sinner, and that is in the name of thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if we look at self, then we have heard it out of thy holy word. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life eternal. And that is the gift that thou dost place in the hearts of thy people, that thou may give unto them a token for good, that thou would bless them with blessings from above, and that they may be drawn unto thee and to call upon thy holy name. Lord, all things by thee are right and true. Thy word is the truth, and thy word comes to us week after week. And then what does it mean for our poor souls for eternity? Lord, that we may take it to heart, that we may seek it by thee, that we may yet ask that thou would be our God and our guide, and that thou would be the great shepherd of Israel. Oh, that thou would lead thy flock according to thy good pleasure, and that thy holy and thy righteous name may be glorified. We are but sinful creatures of the dust, and then the eternal wonder of grace, that thou would look upon such ones as we are, unworthy in ourselves, but because of the sacrificial Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the shedding of His blood, there is a way that a sinner can be reconciled unto Thee. O Lord, wilt Thou give yet that Thy holy name may be exalted, and that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Remember thy church over the length and breadth of this earth. Grant unto them what they need, if they even be in far off places, because thou hast said that thou would not return upon the clouds of heaven till this word is brought unto all nations and unto all peoples. It has been brought to many places, but now then they have despised it, and there is not anything we find in Scripture that thou would return unto such a people. And Lord, when we look at our own country than when we think of all that takes place in Canada. Lord, how is it that Thou wilt show yet mercy upon us? The laws of the land are contrary to Thy holy word and testimony. So many infants in the womb of their mother are taken away and killed. O Lord, that blood lays upon the hands of the leaders of the nations. And then what are we that we are not asking and begging of Thee that Thou would yet return unto us and grant unto us what we need? Thou dost yet have a people among us, and they seek the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are taught what they have been taught, and they are reconciled only in the way of free and sovereign grace. Lord, give then wherever Thy word is brought, that it may be to Thy honor and to Thy glory. Wilt Thou remember the congregation, Lord? A child has been born, a privilege unto the parents, and a gift from above. May it be a child that is born to be born again. Lord, help then and remember in Thy long-suffering and in Thy mercy. Help us then in the unknown future, and grant unto us a token from above. Remember, Lord, sick and afflicted. Thou knowest who they are and where they are. O, wilt Thou visit them with a visit from on high, and teach them, O, teach all of us, that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom. There is the great shepherd of Israel. There is a place for inheritance of a broken-hearted sinner who expects nothing of himself and looks unto Thee for all things. Lord, rise yet in the time that we live and be gracious and merciful unto us. I remember those who have been in the hospital and been discharged. Lord, be mindful of them. Remember those who are recuperating in their homes. Give unto them what they need. And then we think of those who cannot go in and out as before. Be mindful of them. Bless the residents of the Bethesda Care Home. Be merciful unto them. They are all in the evening of life. And Lord, then, after the last breath goes out, oh, then it is eternity. And how shall it be for every one of us to cross the Jordan of death, and then to appear before an holy God? Oh, then we will not be able to answer one question out of a thousand. But, O Lord, give that there be more and more a prepared people for a prepared place. Wilt Thou then be mindful of widows and widowers? Uphold them, care for them. Give unto them what they need, and that their eyes are upon Thee, the living God. Lord, be mindful then of parents in the time that we live, and all and the children, that the children may look up to their parents, and that they may see by the example of parents how they walk and how they talk. O gracious God, be mindful then of young and old, great and small. The elderly stand on the border of eternity. But we all stare only a breath away from eternity. And Lord, are we prepared to meet Thee? That is the question that must lay in every heart. Oh, take us then for Thine account, and be gracious and merciful unto us. Remember the land and people, Lord, the leaders of the country. Grant unto them what they need. Oh, it seems that they go deeper and deeper into sin, in following the customs of this world. And this world is going to perish, but those that are given to look unto Thee as the living God, oh, then they may have at times the exercise of a good hope in their souls. Lord, remember them all, to remember the country, and remember all the leaders of the country. Wilt Thou also be mindful, Lord, of our school, the staff and the students, the volunteers, and all who have part in the school. Be mindful of them, care for them, supply unto them what they need, and especially the teaching of Thy holy word. Apply it unto their hearts. The great responsibility also that lays upon parents to give instructions to their children out of Thy holy word. One day we all shall stand with our children before Thee, and then what will it be? Oh, if our children have to condemn us because of the lifestyle we have led, then what will it be? Oh, then it shall be a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Lord, give yet that Thou may perform wonders. Bless the labors among Jews and Gentiles. Give that there may be true conversion among them. Remember all the workers in Bolivia who now have a pastor to go in and out among them. The Lord make it well and give give true conversion also among that people. Bless our Christian school in Loma Alta. Give that it may be profitable and that it may be to their welfare. Lord, the needs go on and on, but oh, remember then each one. We think also of our theological students. Give unto them what they need in studying, and the three that are speaking a word in the churches. Lord, grant unto them what they need, and supply them out of Thy fullness. Help them and care for them and lead them in the right pathway. Those who listen to church phone, there are a measure of them. Give a blessing unto them. Care for them and look upon them. We think also of the vacant congregations. All the students may go from place to place now, but Thou, O Lord, grant that there may be more men called and anointed by Thee to enter the theological school. Make it then well, and help them from day to day. The needs are many, but Thou art a great God, and all things are in Thy hand. Wilt Thou then remember the whole congregation? Every house has its cross. Every heart has its pain. May it be a good pain from above, the workings of the Holy Spirit, and that they may yet learn to be a beggar at the throne of grace, and that they may call upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, help them in all these ways. Remember the consistory. Lord, the many needs and many matters that come forth. We need wisdom from above. Be with us tomorrow in the evening as as we meet as consistory. Lord, give light and wisdom and understanding. And now we lay all things before Thee. Thou art the unseen guest also tonight. Oh, Thou art among us, but use Thy Spirit in this evening also to the true conversion of sinners, to the establishing of Thy people, and that their eyes are lifted up unto Thee. Help him who is to speak in this evening. Grant unto him what he needs in the words and the matters. Lord, we are nothing but a lump of sin, but Thou art the Almighty God, and Thou alone dost care. Thou art the Rock of Ages, and Thou dost build Thy church on that rock, and that rock is nothing less than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Be in the midst of us and lead us into wisdom's ways. We ask this not because we deserve it, but out of free and sovereign grace, and not for anything in us, but only in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the singing of Psalter 427. 427. Let us sing the stanzas 6, 7, and 8. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and triumph in the grace applied. Save, O Jehovah, we implore Thee. Save now Thy people e'en today. Prosperity send Thou in mercy, and favor us upon our way. Psalter 427, stanzas 6, 7, and 8. Dear congregation, we read of what the Apostle Paul had written in Romans 8, where it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Just that short verse tells us exactly the condition of man. Because if we remain carnally minded, thinking only of the things of time and sense, then it says it is death. And that is a text that agrees so much with Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But then he says here, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then some may think, well, can we not do anything? Are we then so evil? Are we then so unrighteous? But it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Thus there, it points out so clearly what the carnal mind is, the enmity against God. Can the natural man understand that? No. Can the natural person agree with it? No. Is it the truth? Is the Bible true? Is the Bible written in such a way that it is the only truth? Yes, it is. And then it says, no, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then Paul turns it around, and then he says, but. And but is an important word in Scripture also. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. We find this very thoughtful, what is written here in Romans 8. I was thinking of it in my home yet this afternoon, of what is written. And I know the board had read Romans 7, but that is my fault that it's changed. But now to think of what is written here, that the truth that by nature we are enemies of God, and enemies also of the law, because it is not subject to the law of God. And then when we think to be subject to the law of God, that means to be in agreement with it, to follow it, desiring that we may live according to it. And we learn that we cannot. But then when we think of what it says, that it is, for it is not subject. What is not? The carnal mind is not subject to the law of the God, neither can be. We wish to consider that tonight in our Heidelberg Catechism, and you may find it on page 80 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 44, and for tonight, question 114 and 115. Lord's Day 44, page 80, and it's question 114 and 115. Question 114, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? And his answer, no, but even the holiest men, while in this life have only a small beginning of this obedience, yet so that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live not according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? And the answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Thus far, the words of our catechism. This Lord's Day 44 is the 10th commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. And then, it was over 3 weeks ago that we had spoken of question 113, the great evil of covetousness. And if tonight, with God's help, to say a word, can the true church keep these commandments? What does the instructor have to say? And then secondly, the preaching of the Ten Commandments. This tenth commandment, in short, are only the words, thou shalt not covet. And if you recall, I mentioned that to covet is to wish for something that does not belong to us. That is covetousness, to look at other things of other people, and then a striving in the heart, thinking, well, that's really what I want. You're coveting things of another person. And when we had spoken of this, the great evil of covetousness, and then the commandment speaks of the smallest inclination that's contrary to God's law that should not arise in our hearts. We find that in there because it said, what doth the Ten Commandment teach of or require of us? Even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Thus, he's speaking there very clearly. And when we think of covetousness, then we can look back in the book of Habakkuk, and there in chapter 2, verse 9, then he speaks about, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. So, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness. Back there, the prophet here was speaking about it, and he had emphasized it very clearly. And then when we think of it, what that had taken place, and how that is read in the 13th, in question 113, and it speaks about the smallest inclination of or thought contrary to any of God's commandments. Now, when we place those Ten Commandments in front of us, and then they stare us in the face, and we have to answer for those Ten Commandments, then we have to say guilty of every one of those commandments. And now tonight we wish to go on to question 114, which says, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? The real point here is, in question 114, can those who are converted to God? Our fathers here, when they had written this, converted to God, perfectly keep these commandments. And when we read that it says that who are converted to God, and then perfectly, when one is converted to God, then the work of the Spirit has taken hold. When one is converted to God, there is a new desires and new readings and new people that they visit. There's a complete radical change that takes place in their hearts. Why do these instructors have to mention those who are converted to God? Because way back in the time that the catechism was written, there were many that had taken and spoken of conversion who knew nothing of what you heard tonight out of Romans 8. They did not realize what it said there, that to be carnally minded is death and spiritually minded is life. And now for every one of us that are gathered here this evening, it is one of the two. We are either carnally minded or we are spiritually minded. Can an elder or a minister look at you and say, well, I know you are carnally and you are spiritually? No, they cannot always do that. But there is an unseen guest here tonight. And he looks at the heart. He seeks out what's in that heart. He knows what takes place in that heart. He knows what the people are doing in the examples of life. And thus, they may think, many will think to enter in and not to be able. Many will think that, yes, there is that new life in my soul, and it has not happened. And that is not a judgment for a man to judge. Judge not that you be not judged. But even for office bearers to look and to talk to a person, they still cannot pinpoint what exactly is going on in the heart. Yes, there are very clear cases. They can understand, you can follow, and you can see what takes place. But then when he is speaking about here, that those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments. Thus, when we read that, then without the grace of God, it's simply impossible. The question is, can those? That's what we read here. Can those who are converted? So, the writers of our catechism, they are bringing out a point. Yes, there may be a multitude of people, but are there those among the people who can speak, as it says here, can those who are converted to God? And they are using that can they because they also had spoken to a multitude. They also had brought the living word. They also had proclaimed life and death, well and woe. But it is only one, the judge of heaven and of earth, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He will judge every soul. And when does that happen? When does that happen, huh? That the judge of heaven and earth, he will judge every soul. When does that take place? Oh, then must we speak about then when Christ will return on the clouds of heaven and every eye shall see him? Then we go too far. It takes place when the last breath goes out of your nostril. And when the grace of God may be in your heart before the first tear can be shed, that soul is in glory. That's what one of the old writers had written. That fast. Is that the end of the quotation? Think of what it will be not to be converted and then to appear before this judge and the last breath goes out of your nostril and you come into that place where there is eternal destruction. No hope. No more preaching. No prayer. No scripture. And everlasting burning. He says, I hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But we cannot imagine what the opposite is. No. We cannot imagine that congregation. James wrote in chapter 3, in many things we offend all. Paul wrote in Romans 14, for the whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Thus the true church is given faith. And what does that faith do? What is the object of that true faith that God by His Spirit lays in the heart of a sinner? What is the object of that true faith? That true faith that unites a soul to Christ Jesus. And you say, well, I think you're going a little fast. No, that's what Scripture says. But faith unites a soul to Christ. Now, do they fully realize it at that moment? Generally not. Is the essence of it in their soul? Absolutely. Now, there's a difference if the essence is in the soul or there is the activity in the soul. And through the activity of faith, when that may take place in the soul, there is no doubt. But does it last all day? Can it go on for many days? Is it something that we can just hang on to? Oh, one of the old fathers, he said, when someone had spoken of that they received a gift from the Lord, he said, now you hold it as long as you can. Because he knew that he could not hold it. The true church is given that faith. Oh, we read something of it also in the book of Ephesus, of Ephesians. And then he speaks there in such a plain way in chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Then what? Through faith. That's what he is speaking of here. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What does an Arminian say about that text? No, that's not quite right. It says in the text, and that not of yourselves. They say, oh, yes, but I've done my part. And God will do His part, and the end will be good. No, it says here so clearly in verse 8, it is the gift of God. And a gift is given. A gift is not asked for. No. You go around and beg and ask for things, maybe? But no, a gift. There may be many gifts are given now and then to people. But now receive that gift. That only gift of true life in the soul. And that's what he is speaking of here. And then what does he say? No, but even the holiest men while in this life have only a small beginning of this obedience. It's yet so that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Thus, he's speaking here that the holiest men that have only a small beginning. And then I read that in the catechism and I say, yes. Does that mean Abraham had a small beginning? Did Isaac and Jacob have a small beginning? And you go on to the disciples that the Lord called, and they had spoken so strong at times, some of them. And there was that only then a beginning. Was John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, then he had spoken so clear, was that only a beginning? Yes, congregation. The faith that God places in the soul, that hope that they may experience time and again, and that love that is given in the moment of regeneration is only a small beginning. And why is it a small beginning? Because eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love Him. It is so great here in this life than those that have received that something we would say, oh, such great faith. Think of Noah building the ark. And he had labored 120 years. He had preached and he had brought the word. And then he had himself just a small beginning of that new life. And what is it? Why is it a small beginning? Because what is laid away for the church of God, that they have received that grace here in their hearts while in this time state, they will inherit the city whose builder and maker is God. They will inherit that place that you read of in John 14. In the house of my Father are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told thee. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I have prepared a place for you, I will come again. That is the least, that mustard seed of grace that is given. And these people, they strive to live according to God's will, to God's law, and to God's word. And then the thing that the instructor is saying, that small beginning. Now let me ask this again. Why does it say a small beginning? Where does that, what is the root of those words that it's only a small beginning? Because that old man is still alive. And how old is that old man? He's over 6,000 years old. And he fights against what the Lord places in the soul. Oh, he comes right against it in a powerful way. And if he could, he would destroy that work. But that's impossible. That cannot be congregation. That small beginning. What do they learn with that small beginning? They learn they cannot pray. They learn, oh, they read God's word, but they cannot interpret it. They learn to be a beggar before the Lord. And they learn that if what it says in Peter, kept by the power of God through grace. That is that people that are so blessed by the Lord. And now I tell you something else. They're the richest people on this earth. Do you have a small beginning? Can you speak about that the Lord had come with His Spirit and convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Have you had a moment in your life, congregation? Oh, I hope there may be many among us. The Lord knows the hearts and the secrets within. That with that beginning, that is a mustard seed, and at times in the person, it can become so great that why an almighty God looked upon me. Do all of God's people experience something of that? Do they all experience that, why, Lord, would Thou look upon such a one as I? Oh, I believe so. That is that life that's born in the soul. And then they have to agree, holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. But then he says, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live not according to some, but all the commandments of God. Thus in that small beginning, then what do they learn? Then they learn out of Zechariah 3, verse 12, or Zephaniah, I will leave in the midst of the afflicted and poor people. And what's added to it? Huh? What's the rest? Do you know the rest? And they will trust in the name of the Lord. And to have just a bit of that trust that the Lord activates time and again in the soul, then they are an afflicted and a poor people. And Job had said, what did he say? And the Lord starts out in that chapter that he was a righteous man. And he said, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That's biblical, congregation. That's the inspired word of God. And what did Paul have to say? Who was first the persecutor of the church, drawn with the cords of love, stopped on the way to Damascus, so clear a conversion that he had. What did Paul have finally to say? Then he was led further in the way of grace. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thus, congregation, when we read that, and when we consider that, what is spoken of there, that he speaks here also, only a small beginning of disobedience, yet so that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live, not according to some, but all the commandments of God. Some important words here. Yet so that with a sincere resolution. So that must be the part of man. They have a sincere resolution. It's God-given. Whatever a sinner receives in their heart is from above. And is that an easy lesson to learn? No. No, we don't learn that so quick, congregation. With a sincere resolution, they begin to live. All their life, it goes upside down and it changes in such a drastic way it can be. That they begin to live. Not according to some, but all the commandments of God. And when that's written there, oh, then they have to say yes. I hear those Ten Commandments every week. Sometimes they hear them read, and it doesn't mean a thing to them. Sometimes they hear those Ten Commandments read, and then it enters into the heart. But then he says here, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? What do we find there? That in our third thought that it speaks of it. Well, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more. That's what he says here. More and more to know our sinful nature. He comes right back to that. He comes right to the point. He says that I may learn more and more of my sinful nature. Why do those instructors come with such a point of their sinful nature? Here is spoken of that they see their sinful nature by the light of the Holy Spirit. And what do they learn? That our sinful nature, and they become more earnest in seeking the remission of sins. The more that the Lord teaches, the more the light shines from heaven in their soul. They're not the light of the sun, the light of the Son of Righteousness. When that may shine in their soul, then they that they see more and more their sinful nature and are brought to a knowledge that the only solution is outside of themselves, flows from above, and that is of what Christ had done for His people. Are they taught that all at once? Oh. Congregation, the Lord is not in the hurry. Generally speaking, was in the hurry with the thief on the cross, but in general, the Lord is not in the hurry. And now what does it do? The preaching of the law, that's what He is speaking of here. Then we find it in Galatians. And there in chapter 3, it says in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So he says, talks about a schoolmaster here. And then when we think of a schoolmaster, he's speaking about one that has a responsibility to instruct and to teach. And thus, when we read that here in such a way that the preaching of the law to seek our salvation outside of ourselves. Cannot find it outside of ourselves. Thus, the preaching of the law is to bring us to the knowledge of Christ. And then the Lord, I mentioned 3 weeks ago, then the Lord uses a mirror. They look in that mirror and they see themselves. They are not seeing everybody else, but it comes so personal home in their heart. And when it comes personally home in their heart, oh, then the Lord's at work and the Lord is giving further instructions, as He says, that in all our lifetime we may learn more and more. So He is speaking here to the church, because otherwise they don't know anything, more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and the righteousness of Christ. Again, that takes us back to Matthew 5. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is what we see there, congregation. See there also the mortification of the old man, and how deep our fall it was in paradise. And what do these people have? What is something that lodges in their soul? We find it at the end of Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy soul. Thus, what is it? It is a waiting people of whom we will sing out of Psalter 161. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior, He has proved, He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. 161, while your offerings are received. The last part of question 114 says that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Thus, the instructor is pressing upon us that we become more and more conformable to the image of God. Of ourselves, then, we don't have that either. But the Lord, He bestows it upon those people that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and then they have a desire not to live according to one commandment, but to all the commandments of the Lord. And then that the desire, it says, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Do all the people of God have exercise that they will surely enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, they have the strife in their soul. And Satan can plague them in such a horrible way that in you there is nothing that is pleasing to the Lord. But the Lord has come unto them and the Lord has touched their hearts. And then by moments they are given to believe that, we find it so clearly in Philippians. And when we find it in Philippians there in chapter 1, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And my dear congregation, think of those words. Where the Lord begins, He will finish. What the Lord begins, they will be instructed. And that end, the end of that people shall be peace. Even if all the devils of hell come against them, and the plagues of the world are fighting them, and their own flesh is telling them that they have no part in the kingdom of God. What the Lord begins, it shall come to a pass. And that is what he said here, till we arrive at the perfection proposed in a life to come. There is not a perfection here. No, there is not a perfection in anyone. But there is a day coming, Church of God, that there will be a perfection, and then no devil, no world, and no more that great big I. That shall be all put outside of the door. And what the Lord has performed, and what the Lord has begun, that will be sure. And then He will take them into that city whose builder and maker is God. Now we come to the end of the Ten Commandments. And as you have heard of the Ten Commandments, that's God's law. Have you ever seen in God's law a mirror? And that mirror reflects on you. That mirror tells you what you really are. And that is to see yourself not as such a rich Christian. Oh, no. The Lord Himself said that they shall not enter in. But now to be a beggar, to be poor and needy, and to see that there's death in the pot. Oh, then the Lord has to quicken that soul again. And they may receive time and again the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Are there a people in the midst of us tonight that can say, well, I have nothing else than the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then I ask you, was that prayer of the publican true? Is it sincere in your heart in such a way that you lay it before God and say, Lord, Thou knowest the hearts. Thou knowest my life. Thou knowest my intentions. And Thou knowest that internally in my soul I have a longing that I may know Thee. Thou who art the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. O congregation, ask on bended knee, Lord, make it plain in my soul. Psalm 27, Lord, lead me in a plain path. That's the longing and that's the desire of that people. And now, Church of God, how is it with you? How stands the matter between the Lord and your soul? Do you and must you say time and again, it's so dark, it's so dead? How our fathers had said, if it's always dead or if it's always life, both are wrong. The Lord doesn't forget His people. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their soul when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. Oh, that you may take it to heart, and that the Lord may yet give such a token of love in your soul. It's going to be either well or woe. It shall be well when we may know something of the Mediator. It shall be well when we have true conviction of sin. It shall be well if I have a beggarly sigh to the Lord. I won't even call it a prayer. No. Even of God's people, they say, I cannot pray. Oh, then do you have a sigh in your soul? Does your heart go out to the Lord? Oh, they said, then I cannot tell you, but it's so seldom. And I say, if you don't have that, can you look up? And can you see that He is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, dear congregation, follow not the paths of this world. Follow not the easy Christendom of this, of our time. The deception is great, and it comes so close to the scriptural truth and still misses out. But oh, think of what it is that God may make us, that we may receive that one thing that's so needful. And the Lord Himself can give that. Oh, there is a name that stands above all names. And His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And if God is with us, then we find in Romans, then who can be against us? The Lord takes up all the needs and all the sighs for His people. He prepares them for a prepared place. Oh, make haste, congregation, make haste for your life's sake. And then that we may realize, not one, every one of us, so guilty of the Ten Commandments. May your sigh be that what is written, turn me, and I will be turned. O Church of God. Then Paul said, we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. There are times that the church thinks of that. What will it be to see Him? What is it to exalt Him here in time? Yes, I know we are sinful creatures of the dust. It speaks of it in this catechism also. But oh, if we may have a single eye, His name to glorify, that is more than 1,000 worlds can give unto you. And then to think, Church of God, that when this life is done, then there will be a perfect communion with Him who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now that Spirit in time works in the soul. That Spirit is to glorify the Son. And that Spirit that has to convince us of sin, of guilt, and of righteousness, it is in Him. It is through Him. It is of Him. And I may say that tonight, that it is all of Him. Because if we have to find one thing good here, then it's no good. But in Him, that fountain is still open. In Him, the door of grace is still open. In Him, His grace is so wide as the ocean. May we yet be brought on the right place. God all, man nothing. May it please God to work in the midst of us with His Spirit. Amen. Lord, it is at the close of this Sabbath day and this hour that we draw nigh unto Thee in a word of thanksgiving. Oh, wilt Thou give yet the heart of thanksgiving? Wilt Thou give prayer day in our souls? And that we may plead to Thee and look to Thee and ask of Thee that Thou would crown us with Thy loving kindness and Thy tender mercies. Lord, go with us in the unknown future. Wilt Thou remember each one in their daily labors and help them, guide them, and protect them. Take none away, Lord, unprepared or unreconciled, and where we will be absent again for a few weeks. Lord, give traveling mercy that I may go back to my wife and that we in due time may return here. Give that healing may take place and that not only externally, but internally, and that is what we all need. Gracious and eternal God, have mercy, oh, have mercy upon such rebels as we are. Forgive all that has been done amiss today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with the song of the Ten Commandments, 435, the stanzas 8 and 9. Thine heart shall never, thine heart shall never from thy neighbor covet his house, his wife, his food. Thy soul shall as thy mouth with honor sing praises, for the Lord is good. 8 and 9 of 435. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.